I don't know if you're like me, but whenever I go out for something nice, you know, like a nicer dinner, maybe it's Valentine's Day, or maybe it's a birthday dinner, or maybe I'm going on vacation and I want to figure out a good place to eat, I am serious about reading reviews about restaurants and hotels. Is anybody else like that in the room? You know, you do all the research, you make sure everything's just right. I get pretty serious about this. Just last Valentine's Day, just a couple weeks ago, trying to find the restaurant downtown. You know, I'm new to the city, so I want to make sure I find the best place. And so I'm on Yelp and Urban Spoon, and I'm looking through trying to find the best little spot that nobody else is going to go to on Valentine's Day. And so I'm doing all this research, I'm doing all the reading, and it's consuming me, right? What did I want to see? I wanted to see what I could expect when I went there, right? I wanted to see, okay, what's it going to look like? What's the food going to be like? How much is it going to cost? How long am I going to have to wait? All those things I looked for in the reviews. Basically, I was trying to figure out what my expectations were when I got there. So reviews are pretty important, right? Reviews are important. I mean, it's like I say they're important. You can tell my wife that the next time I'm hounding through the reviews to make sure we find just the right spot. She's like, let's just eat. I'm hungry. It's 9 p.m. We haven't decided yet. Okay. Well, this morning is kind of like that. This morning is us just walking through what are the expectations when you come in here. What can you expect from the leadership of this church? What can you expect from the way that we handle certain issues? You know, you could think of it just like a restaurant. How will the plate be presented to you when you come to Gospel Grace Church? So I hope I'll be able to explain this with wisdom and clarity, and I hope you'll be able to say, you know, okay, I understand what's expected of me as a member, and now I understand what I can expect of the people of this church so that you can make a wise decision before you commit to being a member of the core team. Let's open a word of prayer and we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have called us by name, and thank you that you are building a church in Salt Lake City. Lord, it is wonderful to be here with other people today, other people that want to unite together. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom to be the church that you want us to be, to serve in this community and to fulfill your mission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that we would do that here in Salt Lake City, and then that we would do it all over the world by making disciples. Lord, thanks for the opportunity we have to worship today. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be responsible. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Appreciate Sunil passing out this week's handout. So if you didn't get one of those, kind of raise your hand. Make sure you get one. Carlos needs one up here, I think. But we're on page number 83. You can stick that inside. We're going to answer some questions about great expectations. This is the reviews site, so you can know what to expect. The first question we're going to look at is, what can I expect of the leadership of Gospel Grace Church? First thing you can expect is that we are committed to team philosophy of leadership. And on a morning like today, I realign myself with this commitment because Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Lucas are away. They're serving at a church in Georgia, sharing the mission of what God's doing here. So as I was preparing for today and getting all the stuff together, I thought, you know, I'm thankful for team ministry, you know? I can feel the weight of the need for team. But what does that mean? Well, it means that we are accountable to one another. There's authority that's shared amongst the group. It means that there will be qualified men who work together. That was so interesting. It's been in the kindness of God that he's brought together the team that he has. And I'm so thankful that I'm working with Jonathan and with Lucas. I'm thankful for the core team that God's bringing together here. Because what we realize is that all of us are smarter than one of us. All of us together are smarter than one of us alone. That's a biblical concept, right? In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You see how Jesus sends out his disciples, and he sends them out two by two. He sends them out in teams together. You see, throughout the New Testament, as the church is described, it's described as working together with fellow leaders to lead the church. There's a team philosophy that we have a conviction to follow. So we want to be able to both lead you well together with accountability, working together, but also we want to bring along people that we can train so that we can send them out and prepare the next generation. What did Paul say? The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we believe in team because we want to reproduce. We believe in team because we want to continue what God's doing here. So we're committed to it. And as I said, I'm thankful for the offices that God's given us. I'm thankful for the two offices. We talked about it on page 35 in your book. If you want to kind of write a little page 35 there, we have two leadership offices in the church. We have pastoral leadership, and then we have deacons that serve. So those two groups, those are defined in the New Testament, and those are the ones we follow, are the ones that we'll start fleshing out as we take in the core team, start you all affirming the leadership of the church, and then we will nominate deacons and begin the process of that. So what do the pastors do? The pastors lead. They are charged with setting the direction of the church. They're charged with planning the vision. They're charged with leading by the word. So that's the pastoral team. And practically how it works out, you've seen it. Pastor Lucas is the lead pastor. He's the one who is mainly responsible for opening the word, setting the vision, equipping us, feeding us with the word. But alongside him is Jonathan and I, and we work together with him. We share some of the responsibilities of administration. We share some of the teaching. I'll be teaching this morning. So together we work to lead the church to where it needs to go. And we do that, Lord willing, in accordance with the qualifications that God has set up in his word. We've got some of the passages there. If you want to know what the qualifications for the leadership of this church are, we try and take them right from Scripture. You can see it there in that first paragraph, top of page 84. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, you'll see there. Let the men who lead the church be this way. So as we work together in those qualifications under God's grace, we want to lead you as pastor, elder, team. Then we also will have another office that the New Testament describes. In Acts chapter 6, it describes how in the middle of that congregation, they saw some needs that started to rise up. And so they needed someone to serve those needs so that the pastors could focus on leading with the word, and praying, and meeting the spiritual needs of the flock. So they called out from among them what's called deacons. The word deacon simply means servant. It's an office of the church for people that serve. So we have a church that's led by pastor elders and it's served by deacons. So as we take in members, which is going to be so exciting in the next few weeks, talk about that process at the end of this morning. But as we take in those members, we'll begin the process of looking in the midst of us to say, who are the ones that could begin to meet some of the needs that we have in the church? And we'll elect deacons as well. So the commitment to team leadership, the commitment to being led by pastors and elders, the commitment to being served by deacons, and then page 85, we have a commitment to church discipline. What can you expect of Gospel Grace Church, the leadership here? You can expect that we are committed to church discipline. Now let's talk about what this means for just a second. It really does boil down to the fact that we have love for certain things that really requires us to pursue discipline, which is an interesting thought, right? Would you agree with me on that? It's kind of an interesting thought to think, okay, we love, so we discipline. But isn't that how the Bible describes God's love for us? In Hebrews chapter 12, what does the Bible say about God's love for us? The ones that God loves, he disciplines. So really, out of love for a lot of things, we are committed to church discipline. Let me tell you what church discipline is, and then I'll tell you why we're committed to it. Church discipline is, and this is a section taken right out of our Constitution, is when any member consistently is neglectful of his or her duties. Perhaps it could be that they are continuing in sin or continuing in disobedience. That immediately begins a process where we go after that person. We long to restore them. We long to say, hey, do you realize that this is an issue? Do you realize that God's word says this? Would you please repent of that? Get right with God. Get right with God. Church discipline hopefully would end right there, right? Where the confrontation of another brother, I would hope that if I was living in some sort of sin, that someone would come alongside of me, whether it's you, one of my brothers on the pastoral team, would come alongside me and say, John, I don't know if you realize this, but you, and then they spell out the biblical command. And Lord willing, I would repent and be restored. But if that person persists, Matthew chapter 18 gives us a formula for how we will follow that. And it's all really listed out here in this paragraph. I'd kind of commend that to you reading it. Basically, it begins that we bring another person in and we say, hey, you know, this is my brother and we're both praying for you. We pray that you would be restored. And if it continues and continues, the process has to be that we say, you know, you aren't repenting, you aren't responding, you're not acting like a Christian. So for the purity of our church, for the name of Christ, we have to say, you're not acting like a Christian, so you can't be a member of our fellowship. So in here, there's some strong words. There's excommunication. There's suspension from community. The purpose of such discipline, you can see down there, should be for the repentance, reconciliation, and spiritual growth of the individual being disciplined. Why are we committed to this? Because we love certain things. You know what we love? We love Jesus. So we must keep his name pure. This church, Gospel Grace Church, is called by the name of Jesus. We are Christians. So in order to keep his name pure, we must be committed. We love Jesus. We also love you. We also love you. We desire for you to be in consistent fellowship with God. And if you are continuing in sin, we have to, out of love, pursue this. We also love the church. We love this church. This church must be committed to what God is committed to. We love the church, and we also love the world. I mean, if we are living in a way that goes against how God defines what a Christian is, our name in the community, our testimony before the lost is marred. We love the lost, and we long for them to see the transforming power of the gospel. So that as we live up to the standard of what God calls us to, and then as we also are constantly confessing sin and being changed, the name of Christ is powerful in this community. So we are committed to church discipline because we love. So those are some of the commitments that you can expect from the leadership here, that we're going to pursue team relationships. There's accountability. It's not one man and then it's over. There's accountability. You're going to be led by pastors. You're going to be served by deacons. You can expect that if you join here, there will be a commitment to church discipline because we love you and we love Jesus. We love his church and we love the world. So those are some of the commitments we have towards you. So the question then that comes up are, how then will we handle, this is on page number 86, how will we handle the diversity of ideas and opinions that people sometimes bring with them into a church like Gospel Grace? These are things that would be non-essentials. They're not core to the very foundation of what we believe, but they're issues nonetheless. Things like, Jonathan put some down here, things like schooling, whether or not you will public school, private school, or homeschool. It's not an issue that's fundamental to our faith. Okay? Whether or not your children will date or court or dort, which involves flirting and it's just horrible. Okay, so whatever dating philosophy you use, you know, those are things that you will hold very dearly. Parenting styles, all those things are very strong opinions that get held. So what happens when those all come together? Because guess what? The person sitting next to you is completely different than you. I don't know if you realize that. Look around. We're all very different people. And we all bring with us our own diversity of ideas. So how do we handle those? Well, the first thing is this. The church is not a place for you to trumpet your non-essential beliefs. It's not a place for where you say, you know what, look at all these nice people all in one place. I'm just going to start passing out my little ideas and my plans. No, this is a place where we want the echo of our lives to be Jesus. So if you come and your goal is to really trumpet your belief before you trumpet Jesus, then we will have to take issue with that. So do realize that, but we also want to realize that we can live together in love and unity. And what we did was we just listed a couple of sermons that Pastor Lucas preached when he was going through Romans 12 through 14. And we just put those in there because we don't really have time right now to flesh all this out, but I think if you listen to those, you'll understand where we're at on these issues. We put the web address down there at the bottom of the page, but look those up and say, okay, how can people who are different, who have different values, and they hold to those values pretty strongly? I mean, some of the things that I do that are non-essentials, I hold to pretty strongly. But you know what I hold to much stronger? Love for Jesus. So how can we work together and live together in love? Those two messages I think would really, really help you. But do know that we are committed to living together in unity and that we are committed to reasoning well and making decisions. It doesn't mean we just flop through life saying, oh, whatever goes will be okay. No, we actually reason out what we're going to do before the Lord. So that's how we'll handle some of the diversity of ideas. Next question on page number 87 is, how does Gospel Grace Church handle sensitive cultural issues that face the church? I know you all realize this, but the Bible was written in a different culture and a different time than today, right? We all understand that. So therefore, what is required is, it is required for us to take the principles of the Bible that were written thousands of years ago, a couple thousand years ago, we realize that, and we take that and apply it to today. We think of it this way. We take timeless truths and we apply them to changing times. So the timeless truths of God's word, how do they apply to some of the issues that we struggle with that they might not have struggled with during the day of Paul and the epistles? So how do we do that? Well, let's look at a few of these sentences in here, and I think that we'll understand a little better. It is true that churches face challenges that stem from a commitment to encourage its members to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Because righteous living can never completely be legislated by a list of rules that each member conforms to, we are committed to applying biblical principles to the issues that Gospel Grace Church may face at any time. So what do we mean? Well, let's take a couple simple little issues. One of the issues could potentially be dress, how we all dress ourselves. We know the biblical principle is modesty, right? We know that God calls us to be modest and cover ourselves and not draw attention to ourselves in ways that would be inappropriate. But we will not offer a list of rules that you must follow that says this is what modesty is. We will not, if someone comes in and they are dressed in a way that would perhaps be considered by somebody as immodest, we will not judge them or throw them out. No, you're going to be welcomed here, and your friends will be welcomed here. Know that. So how will we handle those issues then? Well, we will preach and we will teach modesty, but we will not offer a list of rules that people must follow. And how will we handle it if there is an issue? Well, we're committed to community. We've already talked about that, right? We're committed to relationships. So how should we handle it? Well, we'll begin the process of saying, hey, do you realize what the Bible says? And hey, let's talk through this one-on-one in a conversation manner. You know, you could apply that to a lot of different areas today. Dress, you could apply it to musical styles. We're not going to have a list of what musical styles a Christian can or can't listen to. That's not in the Bible. We're not going to legislate that. We don't want it to be a divisive issue. We want to say we want to work together in love, and we also want to submit to one another as we worship. That's a huge, huge goal here. So how do we handle the sensitive issues? Well, we'll take biblical issues, we'll take biblical principles, and we'll apply them to the changing issues of our day. And know that your pastors want to lead you well in that. Hope that kind of helps you understand how we'll work through those things. So what are the next steps? Page 87, this is what we've all been hoping for. Okay, so turn the page there and turn over to page 88. First, you must take the membership class. The membership class begins right at the end of this. It's 24 weeks of 3-hour sessions. Like, what is wrong with this church? No, you are in the membership class. You are taking it right now, and you're almost done. So praise the Lord. First, take the membership class. You're here. You've, you're most of the way there, okay? The next step is that you would be a believer in Jesus Christ. This is what we spell out in our Constitution, which I'll talk about in just a second. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You profess faith in him as the sole basis of your salvation. You've been baptized by immersion following your conversion, and you are not under church discipline from another like-minded assembly. So that's who we accept into membership. You agree with the statement of faith, which we'll be giving you next week, and you are willing to submit to the church constitution. So that's step two, okay? Step three is that we give you a form, and the form is very simple. It just has a big box on it that has a place where you can write out your testimony. You'd write out your testimony of how you came to Christ and how you believe you are saved and how you believe you are being changed. You'd write out when you were baptized and what that was like. You would write out some maybe opportunities that you would love to see yourself serve in here in the church. And then we have a line where you sign it and say, I agree with the statement of faith, I agree with the mission statement, I agree with the core values, and I'm willing to submit to the Constitution. I'm going to live the way the church calls us to live. Okay, that's the third step. Then the fourth step would be we'd get that form back from you, and then you would set up a meeting with one of the pastors. We'd sit down with you, and we'd talk through your testimony. We'd rejoice with you how God saved you and how God's called you from darkness into light. We'll sit down, we'll talk through maybe some of your questions about the church. Maybe you read through the statement of faith and you say, you know what, I don't know. What does this mean? We'll talk through that. We'll talk through whether or not you're willing to submit to the Constitution. And then we'd be willing to say, we would present you to the membership to be welcomed in. So we'll have a service where after you've met with the pastors, we'll say, this person we recommend to you as someone who can join our assembly. We'll rejoice. We'll all read the church covenant together. We'll remind ourselves of how we can be a good church member to them and how they can be a good church member here at Gospel Grace Church. And we'll welcome them in to the family of Gospel Grace. So those are the next steps. Those are the next steps. You've finished the membership class if you're here today, so that's great. Hopefully you've taken all of it. If not, we'll maybe go back through and make sure you've seen all of it. And we'll walk through making sure you're following all the things that we asked the members of Gospel Grace Church to do. Look at the membership form, have a meeting with a pastor, and then we'll present you to the church for membership. We have a little note in there about minors. While our Constitution states that a person must be 18 years old to be a voting member, individuals under 18 who meet the qualifications, take the initiative, and desire to take the step of identifying with Gospel Grace may pursue church membership. So they don't have voting privileges, but they're welcome to join in and serve and be a part of the assembly. So that's it. That's it. That's our new members class. And next week, we'll give you our Constitution so you can begin reading that. We'll give out the forms so you can begin working on that and filling it out. And then in the coming days, we'll start scheduling those meetings and have a day where we begin to take in members for Gospel Grace Church. What an exciting time. Exciting time.